As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, he must do the work of him who sent to me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with his saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told them, "wash in the pool of Siloam." So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they demanded. He replied, "The man then called Jesus." Wow. "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus has made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner do such miraculous signs?" So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." The Jews still do not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?" "We know he is your son," the parents answered, "and we know that he was born blind. But how can he see now, and who opened his eyes? We do not know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself," his parents said. "This is because we are afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, 'This, he is of age. Ask him.'" A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? Why did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I have told you already, and you do not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they hurled insults at him and said, "Sorry, his fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for the fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, "You were stepped on in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Spiritual blindness. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when they found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me, so that I may believe in him," Jesus said. "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one you are speaking with. He is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." Thanks for bearing with me.
I truly dropped that on Steve at the last second, so he sucked it up and he read it through. And it wasn't that I wasn't willing to read it, it's just I felt that the Lord was telling me to tell somebody else read it. So, and if it wasn't, then it's me. Another quick announcement to make. And it's why am I doing it in such a in such a position? Because it's important. On the 11th and 12th, we will be re-roofing that roof over there. If you have time and you can be here that Friday and Saturday, if you can't be there the whole day, either day, that's fine. Come when you can. But we will start working approximately 7 a.m. and we'll go till about 9 o'clock at night because we want to try to get it done in those 2 days, if at all possible. So we're going for the 11th and 12th, Friday, Saturday of July. That's just a couple weeks away. Put it on your calendar. Well, let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that you sent us your Son, Jesus, to be the light of the world. We thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit to open our eyes so that we could see his light. Now, Lord, we ask that you would truly open our eyes to see your truth in this scripture, that we wouldn't be spiritually blind, but that our eyes could be healed and we could see your truth. Father, we pray that you would open our eyes. I pray, Lord, that you would lead this sermon. In Jesus' name, amen. A lot of talk about sin in this passage. We have a man who was, we find out, born blind. And as Jesus and his disciples are going along their way, somehow this man comes to their attention. We don't know how he is drawn to their attention, but we do know that the disciples are discussing this man, probably in his very presence, as if he's not even there. Anybody ever experienced that? Shelly's got her hand up. People do that all the time. They say, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus' response was, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned." Sin is not the reason. This man didn't sin in his mother's womb, and there was thought, schools of thought, that children, babies, could even sin in their mother's womb. Okay? Obviously, these aren't the same people who are pro-choice, who don't think that a baby in the womb is actually a child. But here we are. They're saying, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born this way? He said, sin isn't the issue. The issue here is God's glory. And then this is probably the reason why I picked Steve. It takes a youth pastor to get down and do this. Jesus must have been a youth pastor too. But he got down on his knees, spit in the mud, kneaded the mud. Okay, that was the work that he did. Kneading, to break bread, working to make brick, that type of thing. That was one of the forbidden types of work. So he got down the mud, made a little mud, got up, put it on the man's eyes, said, go to the pool of Siloam, wash your eyes out. And he did. He didn't tell him what was going to happen. Just put the stuff on him and said, go. And the man did. And he was able to see. Now we come into the area where all the people are saying, well, who is this guy? He can't be the man who was blind because now he can see. He was born blind. Who's ever heard of somebody who was born blind being made to see? It is something which our medical technology is yet unable to do. You don't see people who are born blind getting new eyes. That just doesn't happen. So when they finally recognize that he's the man. And the people get excited about, well, how'd this happen? We got to go to the authorities and find out what went on. You got to show the people the important people. When somebody finds something who is really important, really unique, what do? First thing you do is go running to the people in charge to say, hey, look at this neat thing we found. And that's what they did. They took him and said, look at this neat guy we found. He used to be blind, but now he can see. Oh, and by the way, this happened on the Sabbath, and this guy who did it worked. So maybe we can get somebody in trouble at the same time. Maybe it's human nature to try to take out things on others, or try to muck up the works, but that's kind of what went on here. They took him out and presented him to the Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, the leaders at the temple. And then they questioned him. Well, how'd this happen? Well, he couldn't say much because he didn't see any of it. He's just, you know, I was talking to this guy named Jesus. I heard of him. He put some mud on my eyes, sent me over to the pool to wash them, and I did it. Now I can see. Well, the Pharisees are all in a quandary. What's their issue? Well, there's two schools of thought. One is that a sinner wouldn't, you know, a man of God wouldn't break the Sabbath. So he broke the Sabbath because, by their definition, because he performed work, therefore he must be a sinner. The other group says, only a man of God could do such a miracle. And if he's a man of God, he can't be a sinner. That was the options that they were throwing out. God doesn't pay attention to sinners. Or, he's a sinner, so God... If God listened to him, and there was a healing, then he's of God. Otherwise, you're saying, and it must be demonic because he is a sinner. Now, what does the actual Bible say? What does Scripture actually say? It's not what rules did they add on later, the rules of law, which became very, very strict. You know, said you can only walk 3,000 yards in a day, or is it 3,000 feet? I think it was 3,000 feet. Because the distance was a Sabbath day journey. So they couldn't walk any farther than that. That would be breaking the law. You couldn't knead. That would be breaking the law. That was the law that they're talking about is remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Now, when Jesus is doing the work of his Father. That is holy. He didn't break the Sabbath. He was doing the work that his Father presented before him. As we were talking in our Sunday school class, but he couldn't do other than what his Father showed him. He only did what his Father told him, and he couldn't do anything else. He didn't do anything more, didn't do anything less. Did only what the Father showed him to do. So Jesus wasn't breaking the Sabbath. And he was indeed not just a man of God, he was indeed the man God. And these people who had the word, they had the entire word of the prophets. They were so focused on the interpretations of the words that they just didn't go back to the word itself. They held the interpretation and the tradition to be of equal importance as the scripture itself. We don't do that today. Okay? At least not in our denomination. In this church, we don't do that. The Word of God is above every other source that you care to name. If it doesn't agree with this, then it's set aside. Interpretations of Scripture, commentaries, teachings of great theologians, church history, tradition, all those things are second and even third. They're not of equal import. Said we have to look at this and we see that Jesus didn't break the Sabbath because he was on his Father's work. And they were asking him, this blind man. They said, "Give glory to God." Give glory to God is a catchphrase for tell the truth. Yet, he did exactly that. He told the truth and gave glory to God all in the same sentence when he said, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know, I was blind and now I see." So they were ignoring the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the Jews here, they were ignoring the truth of God, His Word, and what they were seeing. And they said, "We know this man is a sinner because he did something that we didn't agree with." It wasn't that he did something that didn't agree with the Word of God. He did something that didn't agree with the way they interpreted the Word of God. Please note the difference. That's what they were getting hung up on, was their own personal interpretation of the Word of God. They felt that don't work on the Sabbath meant that even caring for one of the people who God loves was a sin. Now again, recognize their confusion about who they thought was worthy and unworthy. This man they felt was unworthy because they said, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" So not only did this man have a little sin on him, but they say that he was steeped in sin. Anybody ever steep something? That's what Ed does with his tea. Because you steep tea. You take it and you put it in, you submerge it in hot water so that it all comes out and it permeates everything. So if you've been steeped in it, you know, it covers you completely and fully. The tea comes out of the hot water and and goes throughout the whole thing. Courts, memory. That's what they're saying was this man. Again, they were looking and saying, if you have a problem in your life, if you had a difficulty, it was because you sinned. But Scripture tells us that's not so. Jesus said it right there. Peggy did a wonderful job, not even, a year ago? She got up here and talked about Job. And Job is definitely an instance where Job did absolutely nothing wrong. Yet, God allowed Satan to bring all sorts of trouble and tribulation into his life. He was counseled by his friends to curse God and die. You know, they all told him, you must have a secret sin you're not telling us about. Because if you hadn't sinned, you wouldn't have difficulties. Sin isn't the issue. It's not the reason why all difficulties are there. Don't put that label on it. Don't look at somebody who has a problem in their life and saying they wouldn't be that way if they weren't a sinner, if they weren't sinning. Who here has done that? Looked at somebody and said, they wouldn't be like that if they weren't sinning. I put my hand up twice because I certainly have been guilty of that one. We need to see with spiritual eyes, the same eyes that Jesus saw with. The truth, when we look at the Scripture, don't get hung up on our interpretation of it. Use Scripture to interpret the Scripture. The Pharisees were so hung up with their own thing that they weren't even looking back at the Scripture anymore, looking back at what did God say? Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy? What can be more holy than performing a miracle? Huh? What can be more holy than performing a miracle? I can't think of one. I mean, that's God acting in power. That's a miracle. Trust me, when a miracle happens and one of us is involved, it's not that we did it, it's because God did it through us. I've been involved in some miracles, but I didn't do a one of them. It was God. The end of this passage. Jesus says, for judgment I have come into this world so that the blind will see and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what? Are we blind too? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. Again, the sin here, particular sin, is the sin of misinterpreting and applying the Scripture, of taking what God has said and twisting it and contorting it to something other than God's Word. They had the truth before them. They had God manifest, performing miracles. And what they saw instead was that their reality, their interpretation of God's Word was wrong. Those things didn't agree. They weren't congruent. What Jesus was doing in a way, they were interpreting reality and they said, this is the way it's supposed to be. They weren't the same. People, when we see God moving, we had better, and it doesn't, it's not in congruence with our interpretation or understanding of reality? Don't throw away what God is doing. Throw away your interpretation. Throw away my interpretation. Then go back to the Scriptures. Go back to God in prayer. And ask Him to open your eyes. Open your eyes to see the truth. Because it's only when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and opens our eyes to truly interpret Scripture that we truly understand it. And we can truly live it. So with that, I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. And our closing prayer is, open the eyes of my heart, Lord.